All right, so the first half of tonight's shiur is really going to be a continuation of last week. Last week, we started a bit late, and we didn't get to cover the whole topic of Davar Shem Eskaven. There was one point that I left out, which is a very important point. We'll get to that now. So just again, a very brief introduction to the nuanced differences between all these cases, because they are very different. But the difference really is in a nuance, and the halacha changes dramatically. The first week we spoke about misasek. Misasek means a person does something, and he is fully conscious of what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing, knows why he's doing it, but he's missing information about the action that he's doing. So he's misinformed about something that's happening. The example we kept giving was, he picks up a vegetable off the ground, because he's under the impression the vegetable is not connected to the ground, and it's perfectly mutter to pick a vegetable up off the ground. However, he discovers later on, after he picked it up, that when he picked it up, indeed it was connected to the ground. So that's more than a shegeg, because a shegeg, someone does something by mistake, a shegeg means a person knows it's usher to pick vegetables on Shabbos, but he either doesn't know, but he does know that today is Shabbos. So those are the two. There's two possible cases of shegeg. Number one, I know it's Shabbos, but I don't know that it's forbidden to do this. So there, that's why I do it. So I know it's Shabbos, but I don't know it's forbidden to pick vegetables on Shabbos, so I pick them. Or I know it's forbidden to pick vegetables, but I don't know that today is Shabbos. That would be an example of a shegeg. Misasek is, I know it's Shabbos, I know it's usher to pick vegetables on Shabbos, and I'm under the impression that what I'm doing right now is not picking vegetables. What I'm doing right now is simply lifting a vegetable off the ground. That's misasek. Then we got into the discussion of Davar Shem Eskaven. Davar Shem Eskaven last week, the way we described it was, fully aware of what's happening, I'm fully aware of what may happen as a result of what I'm doing, but it's not at all my intention. In other words, the example that's given, which is the classic example, is when a person drags a bench or pulls a chair or a table, a bed, along the ground, his reason why he's doing it, the reason why he pulls this bench from one end of the yard to the other end of the yard is simply because he wants to move it. Now, he knows there's a possibility that by dragging the bench, he's going to create a little hole, make a little ditch in the ground. But that's not what his intent is. He doesn't intend to make a hole in the ground. We said that's Davar Shem Eskaven. There's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon where Davar Shem Eskaven is mutter asar. We described that this machlokes really exists throughout Kol Torah Kula. It's not specifically related to Shabbos, but there are some differences with regard to Shabbos. But ultimately, we're passing like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Shimon, sorry, that Davar Shem Eskaven is mutter. And Rabbi Shimon himself agrees that when it's inevitable that it's going to happen, that's the example of psikresha, it's inevitable that when you pull the head off of a chicken, it's going to die. You cannot avoid killing the chicken when you pull the head off. So the same thing is true. At any time where you can't avoid the result of your action, regardless of whether it was your intent, we can't ignore it. The lumdus that we gave for it last week, there's two basic understandings of it, but at least to make sense out of what we saw in some of the Rishayim, was that when your action cannot be separated from the result, when you claim that it wasn't your intention, it's a lack of truth. In other words, you can't honestly say you don't intend to kill a chicken when you pull its head off. It's just dishonest, because you do. That may not be the reason why you're pulling off its head, but you clearly are intending to kill it, because that's what you're doing. That's the parameters given around Davar Shem Eskaven. If you have something which you do, and it's inevitable that the result of your action is going to cause, pulling the bench is inevitable, that's going to make a furrow or a ditch in the ground, then you can't deny responsibility for that. That's what we discussed basically in a nutshell over the past 3 weeks. There is one sugya that comes up, which is a psikresha lenichale. What happens in a case where I specifically don't want the result? I don't want this to happen. So it's not just that I don't intend for it. I specifically don't want it to happen. So source number one discusses a case. The Gemara talks about Tana Bana Hatalash Olshin, Mazari Zradim, talking about picking different things from the ground. So the Gemara says, Imlachil, so this is, it's very important to understand when it comes to Melechas Shabbos, we always define, it's not like you have one blanket share of Kezias. the shear, the amount that you need to do in order to violate Shabbos really depends on what's normal for that malacha, for that specific action. So Gemara says, Imlachila kegregris, has to be the size of a date. Imla behema, if it's for an animal, kamali PhD has to be much more. Imla hesing, if you're picking because you want to burn it, kedei levasha beitzakala, has to at least cook a small little egg. Again, that's probably the easiest thing to cook. So if it's not enough to even cook that, then you haven't accomplished anything. Imla yafes is a karka, if he's picking it because he wants to improve the quality of the land. You know, he's weeding it, he's pulling certain things out because he wants the quality of the land to be improved. Now, lachas kol shehein. It's even a trap, because that's the rule of thumb when it comes to chayresh. Chayresh is, every time you do something to work the land, that is under the umbrella of chayresh. So when it comes to chayresh, even the smallest amount of work that you do to improve the quality of the land is going to be a violation of Shabbos. You don't have to have any large shear. So the Gemara is going to ask a question over here. So the Gemara asks, right, the next line. How do you avoid that? Anytime you have something growing, and you're going to pick it out, whether or not it was your intention, you are, in turn, improving the land. So let's say it is because I want to feed an animal, so I have to have a larger share. But the bottom line is, I improved the land. So the Gemara says, Rabbi V'yesu, Demer Tevayu, Pa'agam Shanu, it's talking about in a swamp, so it's not, the land is not going to be improved by that, so therefore, it's swampy areas, it's not a field where you're planting. All right, Abaye Amar, field Tema Besad, let's talk about it. It is a field, the lava agam, it's not a swamp, could go into Loika Machavan. It's not his intention. It's not what he's intending to do. Now the Gemara asks the obvious question, Abaye Rav Adami Tarvayu, Moide Rav Shimon Psekresha V'layamas, both Rav Shimon, that Rav Shimon is going to agree to Yehuda, that even if it's not my intent, I'm going to ultimately be responsible for it when it's inevitable. And it is inevitable that if I pick certain things out of the ground, that the land will be improved because I picked out things that are causing stress on the land. The Gemara says, "What's the Gemara's answer? I did it in someone else's field." That's the Gemara's answer. I did it in someone else's field. So now, what does this mean? So Rashi, in source number two, Rashi says, "He doesn't care to improve someone else's land. He doesn't care." Tosfos explains this with a little bit more. He expands it a little bit more. Pirish ba'aruch. The Aruch, who is one of the Rishayim, he writes, the b'psik reshad le'nicha le'k goyin de'k'avid ba'ar de'chavrei, when it's a psik reshad le'nicha le'k, it's a psik reshad. In other words, it's inevitable that when I pick this out of the ground, it's going to improve the quality of the land. However, when it's in someone else's land, it's not nicha to me. I don't care for this to happen. I don't need it. I'm not happy about it. Goyin be'echad she'ena o'yavai. It's somebody, he's not really very good friends. It's a very nice way of saying, we're not friends. This similarly, v'akaitzitz beheres b'shas mila. Sheinli hana, person takes off. He's doing a bris mila. Cuts off. It happens to be this tsaras at the place of the mila. So he says the aruch mutar l'chatchila. It's mutter, even though it's a psikresha. But since it's leinichale, since he's not happy for the result, halacha is it's mutter. Afilu isad rabbanan leka. This is a very famous opinion in the Rishayim, opinion of the Aruch, where he writes that even though we have this rule that psik resha is going to be chayav according to everybody, but when I don't want it to happen, or I don't care for it to happen, says the Aruch that it's mutter lechatchila. You let it do it. It isn't even an issumi drabanan. As Tosfos continues, Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos brings a bunch of rais, he disagrees with him. Ultimately, what we find is that there is no other Rishayim who agrees with the Aruch. The Aruch stands by himself in this opinion. The only other Rishayim that we have who may agree with the Aruch on this opinion is the Rambam according to Reb Chaim Brisker. Now, we're not going to go through that shtickle from Reb Chaim right now because it's a bit complicated. Perhaps maybe another week. We get our really lumdish yeshivish hats on, we'll be able to go through Reb Chaim. But ultimately, Reb Chaim, he finds a stira in the Rambam, which is quite often the base of a lot of Reb Chaim's, is a stira in the Rambam. And he settles it. But what comes out, the bottom line of that Reb Chaim is that the Aruch is not a das yachid. The Rambam himself is going to agree that psik resha le'nichale is going to be mutter. How do we paskin in source number 4 in Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Chaf? These are halachas of Schita Siman Shin Chaf Sif Yud Ches. The Shulchan Aruch writes as follows: Chavis Shapakku Bipikak Shal Pishtan. You have this barrel which you stuffed up the spigot, the hole, with a pekak, a cork made out of pishtan, out of flax or out of linen. Why list them an ekev? To stuff up the hole where the wine comes out. There are those who say you can pull it out, even though it's impossible that you'll be able to pull it out without squeezing. Squeezing falls under the category, we call it schita, which is either mefarik or malavein. As long as there's no kli underneath to catch it, it's fine. Says the Shulchan Aruch, why? The kivon de enoi she'enoi ne'ene b'schita zu. Since he does not derive any benefit from this schita, havi psikresha d'loi nichalei umoter. Since he is squeezing it, and again, it's not his intention to squeeze it, he's pulling it out. He just wants to get it out. It happens to be it's impossible to pull out this piece, this cork, without squeezing it because it's in such a tight spot. So therefore, it's a psikresh. But loynichalei, because he doesn't care for the result. Umoter, however, says the Shulchan Aruch, v'chalko alav, most of the Rishonim argued with him, v'amru da'af agav loynichalei, kivin de psikreshahu aser. V'aylam, no'egin hetu v'davar, v'yesh l'amadim s'chus. In other words, the Shulchan Aruch goes, and basically he says, the Aruch says it's mutter, everybody else argues, people are noig to be matir. So what does he do? He goes on to explain why it would be mutter. We're not learning schita right now, so we're not going to discuss that. But ultimately, he brings the opinion of the Aruch. He says, what? Stalach, we don't paskin like it. Says the Mishnah Brura, this is very important. He says, we don't, the psik reisha huva asar, midra banan. It's important to understand this. Everybody agrees there's no chiyuv chatas when someone violates Shabbos with a psik reisha lenichalei. So this is very important. Ultimately, we do not pass like the Aruch, psikresh l'nichalei is going to be also. A person does something on Shabbos, which is going to inevitably cause a melacha to happen, but the result is something that he doesn't want to happen, it's aser midra banan. Why is it so important to keep this in mind? Because, in my experience, many of the times people are asking about this, it's in certain cases where whether it's the rice or the rabbanon is going to make a difference. Now, I don't want to mention Amir al-Akum, because Amir al-Akum by psikresh altogether is a very, very good shiloh. But ultimately, it's important to know that any time a person violates Shabbos with it through a davar shei misgaven, which is a psikresha, but the psikresha is not something which is nichalei, he doesn't want it to happen, then it is only also an issur midrabbanan. Okay, so that takes care of the second half of the davar shei misgaven, which is psikresha lenichalei, and we'll continue now with melacha shein tzricha legufa.